All right, so today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and on these disappearance days we usually sing the song by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Saparshada Bhagavad Viraha Janita Vilap, lamentation due to separation from the Lord and his associates. So let us sing it for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Yaya nila prema dana karuna pracho.
Thank you.
Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajacharya Tadasya Srimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. The disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. Shri Shri Radha Radhanath ki. Shri Giri Govardhan ki. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. Gopremananda. All glories to their Soma devotees. All glories to their Soma devotees. All glories to their Soma devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He passed away on this day, I think January the 1st by the Western calendar, 1937. So that means what? Means 37 means 70, 90, what, 77, 23, 100, 37, 83 years ago. So rather than read a verse, we will just read the translation of this song. Saparshita Bhagavad Viraha Janita Vilap. Lamentation due to separation from the Lord and his associates by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, which we have just been singing. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against rock and enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. And we also, we feel the separation of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Of course, we did not know him personally. He left this world while we were in our previous bodies. So, what can we say? But we knew Srila Prabhupada. We know Srila Prabhupada. Or you could say, we knew Srila Prabhupada in this sense. And we knew, we saw and heard how Srila Prabhupada saw his dear spiritual master, how deeply felt the relationship was, how incredibly important Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was to our Srila Prabhupada because of the great impact Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made in the life of our Srila Prabhupada. What an impact. Yes. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada always had the utmost respect and affection for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and absolute dedication to him and to his instructions. So, so let us, you know, we have biographical material is there. Obviously, we cannot read all of it because there's a vast amount. But let us read some, or just talk about some, shall we say, and let it lead up to the actual time of the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and his exchange with Srila Prabhupada just days before he left this world. And of course, today is a fast day. There is no breakfast. Yes. Chanting, dancing, and fasting. This is our program. And so we'll take a little extra time, perhaps. Normally we must finish at 20 past, but we will take a little extra time to recite some of the glories and some of the pastimes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So where to begin? That's an excellent question, but I'm going to begin, I would say it's more or less in the middle. In January 1900, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was 25, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father, requested him or instructed him to take an initiation from Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta knew Srila Gaurakishore quite well. They'd had a lot of association because Srila Gaurakishore and Srila Bhaktivinoda were very close. They were very close. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta admired Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, particularly for his renunciation. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was highly educated. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was illiterate. So there were differences in their natures in that sense. But on the level of like foundational Krishna consciousness, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta felt the greatest respect. So he agreed. And he went. And he assumed that he would be accepted, because they knew each other. And Gaurakishore Das Maharaj would sometimes express appreciation for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, even at that stage. So there was an assumption that Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj would accept him. So he went, and he requested. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji said, "I once accepted a disciple, but he cheated me and went away. I will not make any further disciples." He refused. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta again appealed. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj responded, "I will ask Mahaprabhu. If he gives permission, your request will be granted. Come back in some days." So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came back after a few days and asked, "What was Mahaprabhu's order?" And Babaji Maharaj replied, "I forgot to ask." Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came for the third time. This time he was just simply refused. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, "I asked." Srila Gaurakishore said, "I asked, but I did not receive the command of Mahaprabhu." So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta because one of the features of his nature was staunch to the point of being totally unbreakable determination and dedication. So he stood up and said, Karuna nahoyele, kandia kandia, pranana rakibo ara. Famous line from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Without your mercy, weeping and weeping, I will no longer sustain my life. So he resolved that if you will not accept me, I will just give up my life. And he was serious. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj saw that, and he accepted him and gave him the name Sri Varshabhanabhi Devi Daitaya Das. Right? I think that was the name. Yes. So, our Srila Prabhupada said, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to accept Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj as a spiritual master. You go and take your initiation from him. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta thought, I am a great scholar and I'm son of a magistrate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who's great Vaishnav. He'll be very much pleased to accept me. Of course, he was very much pleased, but in the beginning he refused. He refused because, of course, that is only show. He was not proud. Just to teach us, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained that I was little proud, so I was thrice refused by Guru Maharaj, although he was the only disciple. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, and I find it extremely interesting, the perspective, the respect he had for his spiritual master. It's really, you know, we can say it's exemplary. Because on one hand, Srila Gaurakishore was apparently short of qualification. On the other hand, he was so fixed, just almost impossibly fixed, just so fixed in Krishna consciousness and renunciation in Krishna consciousness. So it's interesting to see. So let me just read just a few. Some number of sentences. When out of false ego I was thinking, I'm a great scholar of mathematics and philosophy. Let any big pundit come at any time, day or night, and I will cut his propositions to pieces. At that time I got the darshan of the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev. He ignored everything that was previously appreciated in me. My truthfulness, my moral and pious life, and my intellectualism, knowing them to be of little value. When I saw that he ignored whatever was good in me, I realized how good he himself must be, who could neglect so many, quote-unquote, good qualities in me. What inconceivable wealth he possessed. Being neglected by him, I understood that there was no one more fallen and contemptible than myself. That was my actual identity. The very things that I adjudged desiderata, such as scholarship and upright character, this exalted soul regarded as valueless. I apprehended that within himself, this noble personality possessed priceless treasure. I then pondered that either he is extremely puffed up or is exceedingly merciful. I then haughtily said to my Gurudev, You're a worshipper of that cheater and debauch Krishna. So why would you be compassionate to someone like me, dedicated to ordinary morality? All right. My Gurudev mercifully told me, reject your knowledge, purity and aristocracy, and come close to me. Don't go anywhere else. Whatever you require, as many rooms, houses, palaces, and mansions, as much scholarship, skills, self-control and renunciation, you will get. Simply come close to me. Yes, so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had such dedication to Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and that is exemplary for us. We are not capable of that. But we can at least appreciate the great, great appreciation he had. And yes, pray to be able to follow in his footsteps as much as we can. And in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, who also emulated that mood. So, we move on a little bit. In 1905, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took a great vow to chant a billion names of the Lord. He cleared an overgrown area at the yoga pit and made a grass hut in which he lived from 1905 to 1909, surrounded by his many books and manuscripts. In agreement with Alankara Shastra, which describes green as being expressive of Viraha Bhava, or the ecstasy of separation, he preferred to use green items. For example, wearing a green shawl in winter and writing with green ink. He wore only plain, unstitched cloth on both his upper and lower body, using neither shirts nor sweaters, and gave up wearing sandals, even though his feet would bleed. Once daily, he cooked plain rice in a clay pot, and ate nothing more. He slept minimally on the earthen floor of his hut, bathed in the Ganga, and the rest of the time chanted day and night on the same beads Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had given him in childhood, which he used throughout the whole time until he left this world. Occasionally he took black pepper to offset the nausea caused by his fasting. In the heat of summer, he would close the door of his little hut and go on chanting all day and night. Whenever rain came through the thatch of his roof, he sat under an umbrella and continued chanting. Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj remarked, well, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj always referred to him as my Prabhu, my master. So he said, he remarked, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, I see the renunciation of Sri Rupa Raghunath manifest in my Prabhu. So, let's see. So he completed that great vow of chanting a billion names, which Srila Prabhupada said he had performed in order to prepare himself for his preaching mission. So, in 1915, a few years later, pastime of the disappearance of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj occurred. And he was the only, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was the only initiated disciple. There was some number of other devotees who were sort of more like hangers-on, who took it that they were like Siksha disciples, but they didn't have the qualification. They really didn't at all, like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And when Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj passed away, he told them just before, he said, when I leave my body, just tie it with ropes behind donkeys and drag it through the streets of Navadweep. In that way, my body, material body, will become sanctified by the dust of the Dham. So they were preparing to do that. In Navadweep town, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came from Mayapur, the other side of the river, and confronted them and said, no, I'm the only initiated disciple. I must take the body. And the others said, no, we're disciples, and, we are senior. You're just a young man. 1915, so he was, what would he be, sort of late 40s or something. But then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta famously said, all right, whoever of you has not had contact with a woman in the last year, in the last year, you can take the body of my Guru Maharaj. If not in the, and no one said anything, then in the last 6 months, in the last month, in the last week, no one could say anything. And so he took the body of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and placed it in Samadhi in one place, but then the Ganges flooded that place. So they removed the whole Samadhi and took it to the Chaitanya Mat, where the Samadhi of Srila Gaurakishore is now. So, shortly after that, one night while Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was staying at the Yoga Peet, in a dream he saw Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktivinoda Jagannath Das Babaji, the six Goswamis, the Panchatattva, and numerous other great devotees of Lord Chaitanya coming towards him from the east. And they told him, Saraswati, why are you worrying? Begin the task of establishing Shuddha Bhakti. Distribute Gauravani universally. Expand service to Gauranam, Gauradham, and Gaurakam. That's good. with unbreached enthusiasm, broadcast Bhakti Siddhanta. We are eternally with you, ready to help. The support of unlimited people, immeasurable opulence, and boundless scholarship awaits the blessing to serve your mission. All will manifest when required. Come forward with full strength to distribute the message of Mahaprabhu's Prema Dharma throughout the globe. No worldly hindrance or menace will be able to obstruct this undertaking of yours. We are forever with you. So that was some time after the disappearance of Gaurkishore Das Babaji in 1915, and before the end of March 1918. On the 29th of March 1918, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took sannyas from a picture of Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj in Vrajapatna and started the preaching movement. So, at the samadhi of Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, on the 29th of March, 1933, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta spoke as follows. He said, "My Guru Maharaj gave me three instructions. One, do not make any disciples. Two, do not associate with anyone. And three, do not go to the world of Maya, Calcutta." Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta affirmed about himself that, one, he did not make disciples. Those who considered themselves his disciples were in fact his gurus, for by observing their ideal inclination for service to the Lord, his own tendency to serve increased. Two, he did not associate with anyone, because association means to accept something from others, but he accepted only what was given by his Guru Maharaj. Three, he never went to Calcutta, but only to the Gaudiya Math temple, which, although apparently situated in Calcutta, was actually Vaikuntha, beyond, without dullness, beyond the influence of Kali. One disciple said, "Before taking sannyas, he used to wear a top garment 24 hours a day. No one ever saw his upper body. But after sannyas, he would wear a chadar most of the time. He gave up wearing sandals. Walking everywhere without sandals made his feet bleed, but he would still walk without sandals. Seeing his example of great renunciation, we were amazed. During Chaturmasya, he would sleep on the floor and would only eat during the day, never after sunset. In the heat of summer in Mayapur, he would close his door and chant night and day." So we know that our Srila Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in 1922. And instructed Srila Prabhupada to preach in English. "It will be good for you, and it will be good for those who hear you." And we were fortunate to hear Prabhupada, and we got saved. Oh, it's just beyond inconceivable. But we can on this day, particularly on this day, remember that Srila Prabhupada did this on the instruction of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So the connection is there. our connection with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is there through Srila Prabhupada in the context of that instruction. In the context of many things, of course, but in quite specific terms, in terms of that instruction. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta he would get up every morning at 2 a.m. and chant japa, generally. And when the Gaudiya Math was functioning after 1918, 1918 he took sannyas, started preaching. 1922 the mission was already going on, and Prabhupada met him in Ultadanga Junction Road in Calcutta, and the preaching movement of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was really going on. As the movement started to develop and people joined the temples, young men particularly joined the temples, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would get up in the morning at 2 and he would chant and chant. And then at some time like between 3:30 maybe and 4, he would walk through the ashram chanting loudly, japa, and wake everyone up. Yes. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to tell the following story about an opium smoker. The sun was setting and this addict felt the need to satisfy his addiction, that he was on the one side of the river while the village where there was fire to light his pipe was on the other. Our situation is something like this. We want to be united with Krishna, the Lord of Goloka, but we're separated by a raging fire of disqualifications. Sure. At the end of every class, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would recite the following verse by Prabodhananda Saraswati from the Chaitanya Chandramrita, the translation at least of which is, taking a straw in my mouth, I go to you, meaning the audience. Taking a straw in my mouth, I go to you. And though you're a very wonderful person, I request you to please give up all your nonsense ideas and just take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Yes. Oh, here's the actual verse. Dante nidaya trinakam padayo nipatya kritva chakaku shatam etadaham bravime he sadava sakalam eva vihaya durad Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kurutanu Ragam. I take a straw in my mouth. I fall down at your feet and flatter you. O sir, you're such a great and intelligent man. There's no one greater than you. You're so intelligent, rich, and beautiful. You may ask, why are you so humble? Why are you flattering me? What's your intention? Tell me. Oh, you are a great sadhu. You've learned so many things, I know, but kick them out, please. Whatever nonsense rascaldom you've learned, whatever hogwash things are in your brain, kick them all out. Throw them all far away and place all your love in the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. So his schedule was to get up and chant at 2, by 2 each morning. While reading, he would sometimes wear spectacles, but generally never wore them while eating, chanting japa, or speaking with people. His dietary habits were typically Bengali. 7 a.m., a light breakfast, a little halava or a sweet, and full prasadam at 11 a.m., the basis of which was a large amount of rice with spinach and other vegetable preparations. He always took green papaya, cooked with water and blended, until it became like soup. This was good for the liver and digestion. He would always take a little lime with his meal. At night, he would take puris and potatoes cut into squares and fried, a typical Bengali preparation, with milk, lightly sweetened with a little sugar at 8:30 or 9 p.m. In the afternoon, he liked to take lemon sherbet, which is a sweet lemon water drink with sugar. It means like nimbu pani. Or cool, dark coconut water. In his prasadam, he liked a lot of salt, which made taking his remnants difficult. He was fond of drumsticks. He also liked chickpeas fried with hing and salt, and food cooked in cow's ghee or sesame oil. He was very fond of hing, especially peanuts fried with a lot of salt and hing. He was very fond of sweets, especially like the Bug Bazaar Rasgullas. There's a very famous sweet shop which is still there, yeah. But at the age of 53, he stopped taking these sweets as it was troublesome for his teeth as they were becoming affected. He also liked sweet samosas. He liked dakka khichdi, which they cooked usually in a big brass pot with many vegetables mixed in. It is very liquidy with a lot of water. He liked rasam very much. As far as cleanliness was concerned, Saraswati Thakur was exemplary, saying, cleanliness is next to godness. Unless you're sattvic, you cannot be pure. His table, chairs and seat, everything had to be kept neat, clean and tidy. He would bathe no less than 3 times a day, changing his cloth each time he did so, which was when he woke in the morning, before his midday meal, and again in the evening, without using soap or oil. If anything unclean touched his hand, for example his leg or foot, or before using his japamala, he would do achman with an achman cup, which he always kept near. When Jagannath Mahaprasad would come, he would circumambulate 3 times and then offer full dandavats. A few days before his passing, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta called his foremost disciples and showered his blessings upon all his devotees. He gave them the following instructions. With the utmost enthusiasm, preach the message of Rupa and Raghuna. Our ultimate goal is to become a speck of dust, touching the lotus feet of the followers of Rupa Goswami. All of you remain united in allegiance to the spiritual master in order to satisfy the senses of the transcendental supreme person. Do not give up the worship of Hari, even amidst hundreds of dangers, hundreds of insults, or hundreds of persecutions. Do not become unenthusiastic upon seeing that the majority of people in this world are not accepting the message of Krishna's sincere worship. Never give up the glorification of the topics of Krishna. They are your own personal bhajan and your very all and all. Being humble like a blade of grass and tolerant like a tree, constantly glorify Hari. In the early hours of the day, on January 1st, 1937, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur passed away. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ke Jai.